The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back at 8 a.m. Central Time where we are, and I'll tell you what, I'm not mincing words when I tell you that this hour here is going to be information-packed with stuff that you may consider dark, relatively. But I'll tell you what, if we don't become aware of what's going on with our country, and when you listen to the show, you are going to walk away. I'm going to ask you right out of the gate, Jonathan, is the most important thing that we're going to learn in our conversation right here with Jonathan Hollerman, who is the deputy director of the U.S. Task Force on National and Homeland Security, regarding the EMP and all of that situation. Is the big takeaway going to be is that our own government is deliberately not doing anything about electromagnetic pulse?
So I would not use the term deliberately. They just aren't. And a lot of this has to do with lobbying. It has to do with electric utilities are the second largest lobbyists in Washington, D.C. at the federal level. In the last 10 years, they've spent $1 billion, that's with a B, lobbying Congress not to act on this. They're the last industry that has zero regulation. There is zero federal regulation at the electric utilities. So they like that. They want to keep it that way. And so... I would maybe not use that exact term, but the fact remains nothing is happening for 20 years.
And this is scary. So there's a couple of things that I want to toss around here, since you're like the number one best-selling author on preparedness. And you also are a grid down. You have a program called griddownconsulting.com. And you've been teaching people survival skills since you are ex-military. Thank you for your service, by the way. You are an SERE, which is Survival Evasion Resistance Escape instructor. So, I mean, you literally were teaching people how to bug out and how to defend themselves if they're pinned down, et cetera, which we get, folks. If you've never been in a firefight, this is one of these unpleasant things that you probably don't want to get involved in. But the more you read into, and I've read the there's a dissertation on here that Jonathan has authored, this grid down particular memo. This grid down is like 123 pages, I think, something like that. And I'll tell you what, I read everything you recommended from page 39 to the end. And when you realize what the end result is, I don't think people become aware. And they think, and I want to go into this first definition. And I talked about this before we went to break and before you came on. There's a term out there called normalcy bias. Jonathan, I know you what it is in your term, in the preparedness terminology. Tell people out there that are listening to this show, and there's a lot of them, and a lot of them have been in total denial that anything like this could happen in America. Then there's some that are thinking like me outside the box that go, oh, no, it's very likely, especially after interviewing Senator Bob Hall from Texas, telling me it's not a matter of if, it's when. And then, you know, being involved with the EMP shield and whatnot, which we are, those of you who want to harden the grid, so to speak, takes a lot more than just yourself. You want to preserve your own network. But again, Jonathan, where are we going with all this?
Yeah, normalcy bias. Yeah, I was in Texas this summer with Senator Bob Hall trying to get legislation to harden the Texas electric grid since the federal government's not acting. Unfortunately, again, the utilities were able to get themselves in there and stop that bill from coming to fruition. Normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is essentially being unable to take yourself out of the current day and life that you live. And it's failure to imagine, in my opinion, is kind of a short way to say it. So I see this a lot. I mean, I was a member of the Electromagnetic Defense Task Force, which is a three-day wargaming event with all the alphabet agencies, all the military, down at LeMay Wargaming Institute. And we looked at the aftermath of a long-term grid-down event in this country. And that would be the term I would use is normalcy bias, is a failure to imagine. And everybody is looking at this situation. They have no frame of reference for what a long-term, two-year-long electric grid outage would look like. And so when people start making plans and they start thinking, well, I'm going to do this and do that, they haven't looked at the back end of it. They can't imagine the world that's going to be created, since every aspect of human life today revolves around electricity. So I've looked at tons and tons of state, federal, commercial, city plans that have to do with kind of emergency preparedness, emergency reaction. And they always focus on the first 1 or 2 weeks. They can't imagine like their radios not working and their vehicles possibly not working or gridlock traffic. The plans I've looked at, you can drive a Mack truck through, that they're just not going to function because they're only looking at the first 1 or 2 weeks. Just real quickly, when I was part of that Electromagnetic Defense Task Force, American people need to realize there is zero, and I mean zero, plan of action to respond to a nationwide grid down event at the federal level, at the government level, at the military level, or with FEMA. So this is truly America's Achilles heel. Most people aren't aware of it. And if it does happen, the government is not coming to save you. You are on your own.
Well, see, that's the thing that bothers me the most is when I read in your article about HV transformers that come from China. Mm-hmm. And then when I read there is some assertion out there that these transformers have a back door to them that hackers can get into and shut them down. I mean, so the cyber grid, it's not just EMP, it's a cyber grid, because I've talked to Joel Skousen and he said, you know, the cyber grid, they take that down and they numb us to where we have no defense. They knock out these transformers because the one thing I read in these articles is that the military bases rely on the same grid that our cities do. And so when the cities go down, the military bases go down. I had a Charlotte County sheriff. I showed him my EMP shield in my car. I said, now, what are you going to do if the grid goes down? Well, we'll just switch to VHF. And I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding. I did not expect to hear that. I said, your VHF is not going to work either. And he just turned around and walked off like, nah, can't happen. I'm like, dude, seriously?
That is where we're at. I mean, like I said, I was part of the national, the military wargaming event on this. And that is that some of them consider this kind of beyond design basis because it's a very complicated problem. It's a very difficult thing to fix. Not that it shouldn't be. I mean, we did the Manhattan Project in World War II to create the nuclear bomb. We need to have that same type of program today to harden the American electric grid and protect the American people. But you're absolutely right. It is a failure to imagine. It's normalcy bias. It's, hey, things have always been this way and they're always going to continue to function this way. And the future of warfare is in the electromagnetic spectrum. It's not just nuclear EMP that we need to be worried about. We're in a high peak of the solar flare cycle. We're like 50 years past due for a massive CME to hit the earth. Cyber warfare, Joel Skousen is absolutely correct. Cyber warfare is the future of warfare. And then you were talking about the Chinese transformers. This is something that is, it's kind of mind boggling. There's a company out in California that entered the high voltage transformer market here about 5 or 6 years ago, I believe. Now, what's important to note before we get into that is high voltage transformers are the Achilles heel of the American electric grid. They're 400 ton behemoths. There's about 3,000 of them in this country, and we only replace about a dozen a year. And they come, and previously they've come from South Korea and Germany, and they take about, in normal times, 18 to 24 months to build per each location. And then it takes a couple months to get them to port and then get them to the location and hooked up. And now, since after the COVID, with everything backed up, the earliest date that we're seeing right now is 30 to 36 months. So if the high voltage transformers of the country get taken out by a solar flare, EMP, or by cyber or directed energy weapons, the first transformer is not coming onto our shores for 3 years. And that's, you know, So that's the importance of the how important these high voltage transformers are in our electric grid. You can't produce electricity without them. Let's put it that way. And so this Chinese company entered the market here a few years back, and they started selling high voltage transformers, undercutting our competition from our allied countries where we normally purchase them from. And one of them was being installed at a certain location, and some people who were installing it noticed some weird stuff about the transformer that was confiscated by the federal government and sent to Sandia National Laboratories, where they basically took it apart and dissected it, and they found a lot of stuff in it. But one of the things that they found was the ability to shut that transformer off remotely from China, okay? And immediately, the previous administration signed an executive order saying, you will not install to the electric utilities, you will not install any more critical infrastructure from China, including to the gas pipelines and some other areas. It was an executive order saying, hey, no more basically critical national security infrastructure from China, right? This is just, that's common sense. We know for a fact, a member of the National Security Council came out and said they found backdoors that this high voltage transformer could be shut down or destroyed remotely. And so that put a stop to it when the current administration came in and they got rid of all the previous executive orders from the previous administration. This was one of them. That same company that we know, okay, and so this company in California, their parent company in China is owned by the Chinese Communist government, right? So that same company today is still installing transformers into this country, even though we know for a fact they're putting backdoors into these transformers. And we're there's been some great people like Michael Mabey that's done tons and tons of FOIA requests. When he starts sending FOIA requests on this particular topic, they acknowledge that they received the FOIA request for Chinese transformers and where they're going into the grid. They will not respond. They won't deny them, and they won't respond. And it's been a year and a half now. So they're just not – And you can go to C-SPAN and watch NERC and FERC in front of Congress, and they are aware that this is happening, and they're saying, "Oh, this is terrible. Well, you know, we need to stop this." But every single time they get pulled in front of Congress, it's still happening.
Well, the one thing that bothers me is that Trump had this EMP commission in 2018. In 2019, there was an EPRI report. What a joke! You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, I would say EPRI, the Edison Policy Research Institute, which is the, we'll call them the science wing of the electric utility lobby, right? So they put out a report, I think back in 2016, and then in 2019, they started penning a report about the vulnerability of the electric grid to solar flare or EMP. And while they were putting this report together, the Congressional EMP Commission, who is the only organization that has access to the top secret data involving EMP. So, I mean, a lot of people reference MIL Standard 188-125, which was written in 1981. It's an older standard, which is unclassified. Anybody can go and look at that. Not aware that there is a new military hardening standard that's top secret, right, that people don't have access to. But the EPRI started writing this report. And they went to Sandia National Laboratory, which is a reputable laboratory. And the EMP commission said, hey, come send your top two guys and we'll get them top secret clearances. We'll show them the data from Russia and China, the data as far as the foreign countries' abilities on EMP. They refused to respond. They would not even answer them. And so they went into this study with a preconceived outcome in mind. So they only tested the high voltage transformers 224 kilovolts per meter. The old standard, the military standard, was 80 or 85 kilovolts per meter. And then we know now that Russia and China have super EMP weapons, which at center location could produce as high as 200 kilovolts per meter. So basically, when they ran their tests, the very beginning input of their test was wrong. So all their outcomes, so they basically produced this report, which, funny, they released it on the same day we were having the EDTF. And so we rushed over to the the state courthouse down there, and we gave a presentation trying to refute it. This report's been fully refuted by the experts, by the Congressional Bipartisan EMP Commission, fully refuted. However, I'm saying all that to say, this EPRI report is now the gold standard in the electric utility industry. It basically gave cover to the politicians to basically wave this over their head and say, oh, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not going to be that, you know, that bad, because it's kind of like taking a study from the 1950s saying cigarettes are good for your health from Marlboro, you know, Corporation, or from Camel, right?
Not a cough in the carload.
Right, exactly. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they have a vested interest from their lobbying wing to produce this. So it's junk data. It's junk science, fully been disproven by the EDTF and the EMP Commission. However, and I would say before that report came out in 2019, we used to have a lot of congressmen that would come to our conferences that would support us. I mean, we had, I think, four bills, including the SHIELD Act, that didn't make it out of committee, that didn't get passed in law. But there were congressmen and congresswomen that were kind of on our side, I should say. Today, there's only less than a handful that are actually fighting for this. It's almost like everybody's given up because everyone, I want to be careful, but almost everyone's on the payroll of the utilities at this point.
Ouch. See, in the lobby, best Congress money can buy. And that's a big problem, because without Congress actually funding this thing, Jonathan, we're all screwed. I mean, this is bigger and deeper than most of us want to realize, which is where normalcy bias kicks in, because we're all about this. Well, that can't happen here. It's not that bad. Reading this report this morning, and I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning reading this, because I got an email saying, look, you really need to read, you know, Jonathan's like, you really need to read between, you know, like this 50 or 60 pages. You really need to read this. And it's all about what Stalin did to the Ukrainians Ukrainians in the 30s. And I'm like, oh my God, this really is that bad. This is that dark.
It's difficult to read. It's difficult to look at the historic firsthand narratives of starvation periods.
It's not the photos, but it's what people do when they're starving. And here we have all these manufacturing facilities and food processing plants, over 100 of them, burned, exploded. You know, all of a sudden they don't exist anymore. Hundreds of thousands of chickens being slaughtered. I mean, just, you know, pick any particular thing. Egg processing plant in Minnesota burns. It's like, what is going on? And see, then you saw what Stalin did to Ukraine in creating a food shortage. Now, what do you think? I mean, I see so many parallels between what Stalin did to those people back in the 30s versus what is going on in America right now, and the potential, even if we had a bunch of doubting Thomases out there that wanted, like, this EPRI report putting out the flop, the best case scenario, they don't even explore. They don't even get close to human condition when we find out, you know, all you have to do, a coronal mass ejection like the Carrington event in 1859, this stuff happens and we're in the dark ages. And then people, I mean, cannibalism occurred way back when. Oh, we just ignore it. Then you got all these illegal immigrants coming into the country, too. We're going to have 340 million people here, of which you're going to have so many have-nots, because that money they're getting coming across the border is going to run out. And they become what? A problem for us, for we the people. Do they not?
Yeah, a long-term grid down event is an equal opportunity killer. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the size of your wallet. It's going to treat everybody the same, because I mentioned earlier, every aspect of human life revolves around electricity today. We're talking about your phone, your internet, your heat, your air conditioning, your lights, interstate trucking, gas pipeline. Everything must have electricity to function. You hinted at it earlier from my report. The military, 99% of the military base in this country receive their power from the civilian electric grid. They have told Congress that in the case of a civilian power outage, a nationwide grid down event, they would be unable to respond. In my report, I broke down the numbers. They're going to run out of food in 3 days. They have less than 24 to 48 hours of backup diesel on any military base. They're in the same boat as everybody else. So these Hollywood movies where you have these box trucks rolling down the road, passing out food, it's never going to happen. They've told the federal government that they will be unable to respond to the societal collapse. So what does that look like? Society will collapse. We're talking no interstate trucking. If everybody that's, you know, listening to this program looks around them in the room they're sitting in, the car they're sitting in, every single thing that you can touch in your room came on a truck to the store you bought it on, or came on an Amazon truck to your house. When that shuts down, everything stops where it's at. The food infrastructure in this country, the ability to feed 340 million people across a massive landmass, must have interstate trucking to function. If you lose the national electric grid, basically everything that's where it's at stops where it's at today. Your grocery store, when it's looted 3 days from now, 2 days from now, whenever it is, will never get resupplied. So you're looking 2 weeks in, most families are completely out of food. They have zero food for their family, and they start to starve. And so that report that I wrote that you hinted to, Grid Down, Death of a Nation, the psychology and physiology of human desperation, starvation, and living in a world without rule of law, that was written in the aftermath of the Electromagnetic Defense Task Force. General Quast and Major Stuckenberg, they asked me to write a white paper on the effects of starvation physiologically and psychologically for the military. And it just kind of grew, and that's kind of my wheelhouse. I've done a lot of research on the historical aspects of starvation and what it does to the human body and what it does to communities. And so I put that together, and you can download that. I recommend everybody, it's free. Download it for free at emptaskforce.us and share that with your friends and families. It's not a fun read. Some of the stories in there are pretty dark, especially the firsthand accounts, like he was mentioning. But it's important information to understand, because there's this idea, there's this normalcy bias that we're just all going to hold hands, stand together, and we're sing kumbaya, and we're just going to roll through this thing. And that's fine, and I would agree. That's what Americans do in the immediate aftermath of a localized disaster. We come together, we work together, and we fix the problem. There's no back end on this. I already mentioned there's the federal government, the military, they basically cease to exist at this given point. No one's coming to help. You and your little group that you put together on your cul-de-sac will run out of food within 2 to 3 weeks. And we're talking about a 2 or 3 year event. We're talking about mass starvation on a level that's never been seen, I would say, in world history, because there's no law and order on top of the starvation. There's nobody like where you had Stalin with the Holodomor, and we had Chinese famine with Mao. There were still death penalties for stealing food or sneaking into a city. They still had interstate trucking or trains and distribution ability in those countries. We have none of that here. It's completely kind of every man for himself. And so this idea where, we'll just work through it, we'll figure out, we'll grow some food, which probably isn't going to grow. You know, you're not going to see that for 90 days at least. You're starving in 2 to 3 weeks, okay? So it's a scenario that the Congressional EMP Commission, again, which is bipartisan, warned Congress back in 2004 that 90% of the American population would die within 1 year of a nationwide grid down event from starvation, disease, societal unrest, violence. And this is, again, this is something the politicians are aware of. The problem is 99.5% of Americans don't understand the threat, don't understand how serious that this is, a complete life civilization ending event for this country. And no one's pressuring Congress to act. So they take their check from the electric utilities each year, and they just put their head in the sand, and it's kind of like pre-9/11 mentality. They just got their fingers crossed, hold them up in the air, hope it don't happen under my watch, is essentially what's happening. Because unlike Hurricane Katrina and the levees down there, unlike some of these events where in the aftermath we look back and be, oh man, that was really stupid. We should have done this or that. We've been screaming this message since 2004, and they're just not listening. They know the truth, but they will not act for reasons of political power and for reasons of lobbying money.
Yeah, see, it's the coulda, shoulda, woulda syndrome, and it's not going to work the way people think it is. And this is one of the reasons why we have Jonathan. We have him here on the show with us here, and he's written multiple books on the subject. And if you want to make a phone call to us right now, 844-769-2944, you're more than welcome to do it. And you come up with any kind of scenario regarding, oh, it's not that bad, Jonathan will blow holes through it. All right. He's done the homework. He's done the research. Eric in Missouri, you're first up. What's your question?
Well, there's a guy that did some research on the atomic bombs in Japan. His name is Michael Palmer. He wrote a book called Hiroshima Revisited. So, I mean, we've all were scared of those two bombs, but he said it was done by conventional explosives, mustard gas, and napalm is what killed people. It was all big hoax to scare people. So this is probably right, but I'm just saying we need to know the past as well. He's got some pretty good evidence in that book, so I'd throw that out there.
Your comment, Jonathan? It's going to be worse than
that. Was that a statement or a question? I'm not sure.
Normally, when Eric calls up, it's a statement. But the thing is that, you know, positing this as a question, given what he just said with limited nukes, this is nothing compared to equal opportunity or lack thereof for all. I mean, you will see.
Yeah, so the nuclear threat, I mean, that's been around since the Cold War era. And why haven't we entered nuclear war? We've got close a couple times, especially with Russia. But mutually assured destruction, you know, they launched their intercontinental ballistic missiles. They take 20, 30 minutes to get here. We launch ours. We completely annihilate both countries. You're going to have nuclear fallout circling the world. Nobody wins in that scenario. Everybody loses, and any nuclear country knows that. That's the difference between what I would say the likelihood of this weapon being used. In 2017, there's an unclassified report that's been released by Dr. Peter Pry called Foreign Views on Electromagnetic Pulse. I recommend everybody read that as well. And it shows our adversaries, the enemies, nuclear countries, that this is first strike doctrine for the future, because you can launch this from a cargo ship in the Gulf of Mexico. You can launch this from a submarine. You can put this on a meteorological – oh, my goodness, I can't say it.
Meteorological, yeah, balloon. All right.
Yeah, a high-altitude balloon and set this off. And the thing is, if you put a dirty bomb in New York City, a suitcase bomb or something, nuclear weapon, and it goes off, there are going to be people in white suits the next day sifting through, and we're going to know exactly which country that material came from, that weapon came from. If you detonate this up in the atmosphere, there's no guarantee. You can't do that. We don't know exactly who it came from, especially if it was launched from the Gulf of Mexico. Could have been anybody. It's going to take time to figure out exactly who attacked us, so you can't just retaliate. Iran considers an EMP attack, a nuclear EMP attack, Sharia compliant. Okay, they have tested firing rockets off of a cargo ship in the Caspian Sea. They've done dry runs on this. So we know this. It is the future of warfare. So my point is, an EMP attack, and the reason they consider it Sharia compliant is because they say they don't kill a single person by detonating this up in the atmosphere. There's no fallout that's going to affect us. They say that our own arrogance and our own dependence on electricity is what kills us, and it's kind of true. So my point is that this is a way of fighting a war, and I mentioned how the military can't respond if we lose the civilian electric grid. World War III can be won in the very first minute of the war. They can launch a single, probably two or three EMP rockets from the Atlantic, the Pacific, and the Gulf Coast, from submarines or from cargo ships, and they can detonate them above the U.S., completely destroy our nation's ability to make war. Okay, completely
amazing
destroy our ability to make war. Yep.
We're at the break. We're going to be back. Jonathan, hang on. Hold those words in abeyance.
You got it.
We're going to hear more of this and take your calls. Like I said, you got something you want to pose a challenge to us? We're talking now. This is the world is going to cease to exist as you know it. And we'll be continuing this discussion on EMP and our vulnerability after these words. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-8255. 9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 9829.
And we're back at 33 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. here in the Power Hour. And we're with Jonathan Hollerman, is the number one best-selling author in Amazon survival and preparedness genre. He's an ex-military, and, you know, he teaches people survival skills, which is something I guess that a lot of us lack, but... Here's the thing. We're talking about a subject that is got so many issues attached to it. And a majority of Americans look at what's going on and they just go about their normal lives. And we have this little thing. It's called JIT. We just covered that just in time. This is a thing that Walmart, you know, it's really funny how Walmart comes into a market, runs the mom and pops out. And then all of a sudden, you know, it decides to close up because of crime or something. Here's a bigger problem with EMP. If you think crime is bad now, Jonathan Hollerman, who joins us again for this segment, what do you think crime's going to be like when the lights go out?
Well, it's beyond metrics. So again, I have a white paper that I wrote for the military on this called Grid Down Death of a Nation. You could download it at emptaskforce.us. It's 122 pages, and it answers that question. So that's a very long answer, but it is beyond the ability to imagine for most of the people that are even listening to this, because I mentioned before the show, every aspect of human life revolves around electricity, your food, interstate trucking, heat, air conditioning. We talked about police, firefighters, hospital workers. None of these, you know, civilian protection places are going to work. They're all going to go home. 911's not functioning. It's basically a continental time machine and every man for themselves, but without Americans having the life skills of understanding how to garden, grow enough food, store enough food to live throughout a winter, root cellaring, these natural techniques. I mean, I know a lot of people. I live very rurally, and I grew up in the country farming, gardening. I know they exist, so you don't need to email me and tell me, but I've never met a single person that lives 100% off what they grow at their house without going to the store. I mean, I grew up in Amish country, and you see Amish at the Walmart every day. So, well, I mean, they have the life skills to survive this type of scenario. They're also pacifists and, you know, non-resistant. So they're not going to last long with people in their area start to starve and come for their food. And but see, yeah, we're talking about a civilization ending event where nothing functions. Mass starvation is the thing that's most misunderstood, even in the emergency preparedness areas, emergency management. I work with a lot of different states and cities and governments and looked at a lot of reports. And I mean, that's the one thing they don't understand is how people change when they've gone 2 weeks without a single morsel of food. Like there's no, you're not, it's herding cats at that point. You're not going to organize them. You're not going to keep control of the situation. When someone's, and people can sit there and say, hey, I would never do this, I would never do that. There's the imaginary red lines you've drawn for the things you would and wouldn't do in this type of scenario. And I can guarantee you all that goes out the window when your 4-year-old daughter's lying on the couch and you, father, mother, haven't been able to provide a morsel of food in 2 weeks and they're on death's doorstep. What wouldn't you do to get food for your kid? And that's going to be every human in this country. And so, I mean, taking a look at the historical times where mass famines have happened, and not just government reports about those times, but firsthand accounts of people that lived through it. When you look at that, you will see a completely different picture than you probably have in your mind today.
Wow. Kevin in Ohio, you have a question for Jonathan. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you very much for this informative time. I can only imagine a nuclear wasteland if an EMP attack hits our country, because there won't be any cooling waters, right? And there won't be any way to stop all the nuclear radiation. Can you respond to that?
Yeah, good question, Kevin. That is absolutely true. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission was at the last EDTF, and a lot of these things were brought up. We pushed them on their backup generators that they have to keep the rods cold in the poles, and they've never been EMP tested. And if that's not the biggest oversight in human history, I mean, they say they're older, you know, diesel powered generators. But then we look at their ability to run those generators, and they only are required to have 7 days of backup diesel on site, and they have a civilian contract to resupply. What trucker from Houston is going to drive cross country to the 99 nuclear facilities to deliver diesel when there's no refueling gas pumps working? There's, you know, we're talking mass panic, mass, everything's falling apart. They're not going to want to leave their families behind. Yes, you might get one resupply, but after that, I'm kind of, what we're kind of banking on is the UN and NATO, or the powers that be, recognize they don't want 99 nuclear facilities going to Fukushima and that stuff coming around the continent there. With that said, there are safety and protection standards for nuclear facilities in the case of a nationwide grid down event. The current rods that are being used do get dropped mechanically. It is EMP proof. They do get dropped down into the cooling pools. They do get shut down, but you have to keep water running over those spent fuel rods. And that's why every nuclear facility is located next to a lake or next to a river. I don't need to explain to you the problems that could produce, but this isn't going to be a situation like what happened in Russia here. I can't think of
Chernobyl.
Where it was an explosion and it's just pumping radioactive material up into the air. We do have containment vessels around the cooling pools. It will probably be more of a, you know, kind of a meltdown as opposed to, you know, mass radiation pumping. With that said, the guidance is from them is not being within 5 to 10 miles of a nuclear facility if you're going to try and survive this type of event. I would say I would include 50 miles downrange, downwind, prevailing winds, not to be located in that area as well. So, yeah, this is primarily on the East Coast where you see this. If you're looking for areas on the West Coast, I mean, they do have nuclear facilities. There's a lot more wide open spaces out there. It's also a lot colder in the Northwest, and the soil's not as great for gardening and long-term survival. The desert, Arizona, New Mexico, you know, that's going to go back to being a desert because there's no electricity, no air conditioning down there, and the things that you need to survive in the desert is going to go away. So my recommendation personally, if you pull up the map of where the nuclear reactors are in this country, there's kind of a swath from West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, and Western North Carolina, Tennessee on the West Coast, where you kind of have this big section where there are no nuclear facilities within 50 miles downwind.
That's incredible.
Thank you very much.
There's your logistics for you, Kevin. Wow. Then it's getting really testy. I mean, living in the opposite side to the south and west of a nuclear plant probably would be your next best bet if you know where they are. Joel Skousen did, by the way. He has a book out. I've only got his third edition of it called Strategic Relocation, and that has all the nuclear plants on it too. So, wow. It's why we have these conversations, folks, because people are asking legitimate logistical questions as to how to survive something like this. Joe in Arkansas, you're on with Jonathan Allerman. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, I've done some fasting during my life. I've done a couple of 10-day fasts and a 13-day fast and the longest one, 14 days. And my experience is that after about 4 days without food, you have just about no energy at all. And it's a really, it's, if you're going to do anything at all, you really have to push and push and push yourself really hard. So my experience is that after a couple of weeks without food, most of these people that are starving are not going to have enough energy to get up and do much of anything, you know, let alone go and attack people and rob people and so on like that. So I just wanted your comment on that point.
Sure. So there is some truth to what you say. Being without food does make you lethargic, but it also makes you singularly focused. That is your one thing in life that is the sole focus of your entire life at that point. So yes, people will get lethargic. People and brain, cognitive brain function drastically goes down. In my report, I go in depth in the Minnesota starvation experiment, which was some pacifists, some non-resistance guys back in the World War II that still wanted to help the American war effort. So they volunteered to be quote unquote starved by some researchers and by Ansel Keys, a famous researcher. And what they found from that, go look at the after effects on those men. And when you do that, you'll realize that they weren't truly starved. They were given half rations, 1,500 calories per day. Okay. And when you look at what they look like after a, you know, period of time in this type of scenario, I mean, they look like skeletons. And you look at, and every single day they had to meet with a doctor and a psychologist, and they evaluated and you look at the results of that. I mean, just absolute, these men basically, they fell apart, right? And what you have to realize is nobody was coming to kill them. Their families were safe and secure in another state. They were able to listen to radios and read magazines. You mentioned fasting. A lot of people will use that kind of data set, but it's a little bit different because you're doing that voluntarily to yourself. You know exactly when it's going to end. It's going to end the minute you actually go to the fridge and put some food in your mouth, and you can do that at any time you want. This is a different scenario where there is no hope. You're starving, and you have no idea where the next more so of food is coming. And again, it's easy to say that about yourself, but when you have, when you're responsible for, you know, a wife and children or a husband and children, whatever the case may be, your perspective changes. And the, you know, I would just, I agree with what you're saying, but being lethargic or not, I still think most Americans are going to turn into people that are willing to do things they don't believe they're capable of doing to get that food.
Appreciate your question there, Joe, and your comments.
Thanks, Joe.
Sherry in Kansas, you're on with Jonathan Hollerman. Go ahead.
Yes, that's also similar to what you hear about POWs, how their captors would control their caloric intake, and if they missed a meal, it would really set them back, you know, and that's why you see them so gaunt.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this is something, I don't know if you'll be able to address this, but this is something I read in a book by David Hatcher Childress, and he was talking about Marconi was showing, doing an experiment, and Mussolini was to Mussolini, and he told him to have his wife on this highway with a lot of other cars, and he did something. He must have broadcast a certain frequency, and so this was, I think Mussolini died in 1937, so it had to be sometime before that, but it stopped all the cars on the highway for a certain, you know, and after a certain period of time, they would start back up. But the guy, he didn't give any more information. Maybe he didn't know what he actually did. It sounds to me like he was broadcasting some kind of frequency because he was into radio. But have you ever heard that?
Actually, I haven't heard that particular story, to be honest with you, but we do have, on that front, we do have directed energy EMP weapons. So, I mean, our major focus, we talk about nuclear EMP weapons, we talk about cyber warfare, we talk about solar flares, physical attacks. But again, the 2017 Congressional EMP Commission, there's a report there as well called Directed Energy Weapons, and I forget the actual title, but it pertains to how it's not super complicated to build a small-scale directed energy EMP device that you could put in a box truck. You could drive it around the country. I mean, we have how many million people have crossed the borders just in the last 2 years? I think we've had, 70,000-plus special interest aliens. So those are illegal aliens from countries that don't have our best interests at heart, let's put it that way. And those are the ones we caught that we know about. I mean, you could have over 100,000 people from these countries, and even if I recognize a lot of them are coming here to work or send money home, whatever, but even if a small percentage of them are terror cells, I mean, you could have terror cells, and we likely do have terror cells all around this country waiting for marching orders. If they were to build one of these devices, put it in a box truck, or build two or three of these devices, put it in a box truck, within 24 hours, they could drive around the country hitting high voltage transformer locations, which are, again, unprotected. We can get more detail as the SIP standards, the electric utilities write their own critical infrastructure protection standards. There's nobody looking over their shoulder. A lot of these places only have chain link fences, and some of them don't even have camera systems. You could drive right up there, and within a day, one or two of these devices drive around the country, they could take down enough transformers to completely wipe out our electric grid. So directed energy weapons are something that are very real. They're also being developed for space, space warfare. I can't remember the name of the recent movie with Julia Roberts and Kevin Bacon that just came out on Netflix about, like, kind of the end of the world or something like that. And, you know, they kind of they were
leave the world behind. Like,
left the world behind. They were broadcasting high frequency signals from space, which is, again, I don't know anything about that, but they do have the ability, and we believe, and it, you know, we don't have any evidence, but we do believe they have the ability from space, probably, if not now, in the near future, to deliver EMP from space as well.
Well, appreciate your call, Sherry. One other thing before we take another call here is the you mentioned directed energy weapons, and everybody that listened to this show is like pointing a finger at what happened on Maui, and they're like pointing a finger at the sky going, we know what they did, and it may not have been the United States, it might have been China. But the thing is that China, Xi Jinping just said, we're going to get Taiwan. It's inevitable. And I got to look at the fact that as soon as we start to interfere in them taking over Taiwan, and then you have Catherine Herridge from CBS going, well, this year, I think we're going to suffer a black swan event. What do you think she meant by that? Does she know something we don't know? I know. I'm asking you to reach out there and speculate, Jonathan. I don't know.
I don't want to go on the record for the task force. That's for certain.
Look what they did with COVID. With COVID, they sat there and they had this agenda meeting, and all of a sudden now we get hit with a pandemic. I mean, come on. Right. I mean, they got to know something.
From my personal point of view, not from the task force, but my personal point of view, I believe a lot of this stuff is predictive. Program, you know what I'm saying? They're just I'm not a guy that's, you know, hugely on board. I don't pay attention to a lot of the conspiracy theories online. I can't do anything with that. There's so much conjecture. There's so much it could be. We've heard a lot of it could be for multiple decades that it didn't end up being. So my philosophy is I latch on to the things that I can wrap my hands around, that I can, you know, prove, right? And the grid down threat to this country is something that is provable. It is absolute. It is indisputable from any real expert. I mean, you're going to have electric utility lobbyists that are, you know, that'll fight you on this. But anybody in the know knows this is America's Achilles heel. I'm surprised it hasn't happened because of all the vectors and all the vulnerabilities that our country faces in this front. The next war will be fought in the electromagnetic spectrum. So this is something that I believe that I can look at, I can rationalize, and I can form a plan of action against, right? So that's what I focus on. Yeah, I'm aware she said that. Who knows what she was talking about? We have these, the Leave the World Behind. I think there's another one called Civil War that's all of a sudden coming out on, you know, the country falling into civil war. So, I don't know. I try not to connect dots that I can't prove. Let's just put it that way. But I agree. It's weird.
It is. It's amazing what Hollywood comes up with these days, especially when you can stick Kirsten Dunst or Julia Roberts in front of a camera. Mike in Alaska, a quick question for Jonathan Hollerman. Go ahead.
Happy New Year to you guys. Are you aware of Bill Gates' new projects? He's building one in Wyoming right on the super mega volcano. It's called the Kemmerer Nuclear Project, sodium cooled. Now, if that's not electric dependent, I don't know what is, but he plans on building. This is a pilot plant that the Rhino senators there in Wyoming approved. This is a pilot plant. They're going to build these things all over the world, and they're mini nuclear power plants. And they're everywhere. And this one in Wyoming, they're going to build it next to the coal plant, which they're turning into a gas-fired plant until this thing comes online. And because the war on coal is going to kill us. But anyway, I was just wondering if you guys were aware of that. We're going to have a nuclear power plant. The West only had one, and that was at Diablo Canyon, besides these little university death plants. But what do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm actually in favor of micro-nuclear because it doesn't have imagine a small nuclear battery that can be put on, I support it for the military bases, right? The military base need to be independent. They need to have their own electric supply. They need to have their own water and fuel. And if one of these small nuclear batteries, they melt down as opposed to, you know, a large explosion. I'm aware of the company that is creating this. So I am not in support of Bill Gates himself. So don't take my answer to mean that, but there is, I think nuclear can be safeguarded. There are, even for the nuclear facilities that we have here in this country, there are multiple technologies to to produce power for those pumps to keep the spent fuel rods cool. I mean, the other thing is we need to get the spent fuel rods out of each location, get them under, you know, get them in a mountain somewhere so they're not as big of a risk. But, you know, the government fails to do that. So all the spent fuel rods are kept at location for, I think, 2 years until they're non-reo, then they're put in the cast and then they're put into dry storage. But anyways, what I'm getting at is I think nuclear is a good option. I would prefer, I think the safest solution is hydro. Hydro, if you have issues, you just turn it off, you let the water keep flowing, right? It's an unlimited, endless water power supply. I know a lot of countries that get a lot of their power from hydro. I believe it's the safest way, but nobody's asking my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that why we have you here, because the thing is the end game of this whole thing is that things are going to be totally different than what the average American would expect out there, especially if you think we had food shortage then, you ain't seen nothing yet. Jonathan Hollerman, we just ran out of time again for today's show. Sorry for those of you holding on the phone. We're going to have you back again to continue this conversation, no doubt. In the meantime, all of you out there that were getting a snootful of this, you need to go take a look at emptaskforce.us and read the article. There's a bunch of them on there. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us in this segment of the Power Hour. God bless you for everything you're doing. You bet.
You bet.
In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, just, you know, step up, start preparing, because we don't know nor the day nor the hour. We're surprised it hasn't happened already. And it could very well, even with a CME. Doesn't have to be an EMP attack from another country. Could be a solar flare, too. God bless all of you, and God bless the United States of America. Happy New Year.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.